Hello and welcome to The Check-In, where we're coming together each weekday for community connection and conversation here on KBIA. Thanks for checking in with us today. It's Friday, and we try on Fridays to find some inspiration while also always checking in on the challenges that we're all facing through this crisis. And one thing that's changed for all of us in one way or another is food, how we're accessing it, how we're cooking it, maybe even how we're growing it. So today we're talking about how we're getting food and what we're doing with it during this crisis. We realize that for many students, families, individuals, food is scarce right now with supply chains disrupted and jobs lost, schools closed. So we have checking in with us today two foodies who are genuinely talented, but they use their talents in these areas to help organize community food and gardening networks addressing food scarcity. Nina Mukherjee-Firstanaw is a writer and journalist who's written a memoir called Biting Through the Skin, among other works. She's also served as a recent Fulbright Global Research Scholar in India, and before that worked on food nutrition projects in Ghana and Mozambique for USAID and the McKnight Foundation. And Nina loves bringing people together around the topic of food, especially if it's for a cause. So welcome to the check-in today, Nina.
Hi,
Nina. And we also have with us today Bill McKelvey. Bill also loves bringing people together around food and food security, food systems, and gardening. Bill works with MU Extension's Interdisciplinary Center for Food Security, organizing community garden projects, farm-to-school pipelines, and food pantry support, among other projects. Bill McKelvey, welcome to you. We're glad you're on the check-in today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You also, listeners, can join the discussion today. How are you accessing food right now? Are you attempting to garden for the first time? Are you someone who works in food systems or farming? Are you someone who works on food security and access to food, either as a volunteer? Let us know how this crisis is changing the way you get, make, or grow food. Bill and Nina, let me just, you know, as I was saying, both of what you do is just really fun and also at the same time incredibly worthwhile, both of you, with gardening, food, cooking, organizing. But let me just start by asking both of you, from your perspective, what are you seeing right now when it comes to food and gardening during this crisis? Bill, why don't we start with you?
Sure. So I think one thing we're seeing is that people have taken an interest in gardening. So there's reports in the news about coronavirus victory gardens. I've heard other reports about seed companies who have had to basically stop taking orders because they are overwhelmed with people purchasing seeds. Mm. And so there's been a lot of interest in this, and a lot of folks really wanting to give growing more of their own food a shot.
Bill, what do you say to people who want to start growing food for the first time or if they're not very experienced with this? Do you like this trend and what advice do you have?
Well, there's a couple things to think about. So for new gardeners, I would always suggest that they start small. You know, people have grown their own food for many years, but there is actually quite a lot to it. And so I would say start small, start with maybe a raised bed or two in your yard, and really kind of just focus on learning the fundamentals, maybe looking for some resources through University of Missouri Extension as it relates to gardening. And I would also encourage folks, just like we've been encouraged to not hoard food at the grocery store, don't hoard seeds. You know, one of my concerns is that if all of the seeds are bought up across the country and they're sitting in people's homes and pantries, you know, we really need those seeds to be available for commercial growers. And so I haven't heard any reports relating to issues such as that, but I could imagine that if we take this trend too far, our commercial growers who do provide a lot of our food may have trouble accessing supplies.
Bill, you mentioned the victory gardens, and there does seem to be a trend toward that with a crisis responding by wanting to grow your own food. But you also have to have access to some land. You have to have access to a plot. Is this something that people that are on low incomes, and you've worked with community groups, community gardening and food access, what do you say for people on a limited income without a lot of land to work with, maybe not a lot of leisure time to work with? How can they go about growing their own food?
Well, again, I would encourage folks to start small. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe doing something on their patio or something small in their yard if they have their own yard. You know, looking into community gardens is another opportunity. So community gardens across the country provide space for people from all backgrounds. And a lot of times for new gardeners, there's an opportunity to learn from experienced gardeners. So that's something to keep in mind. But I think I would emphasize this point of starting small. You know, gardening doesn't always pay for itself. So if folks have limited means and limited resources, you know, sometimes that money is better off spent on food from the grocery store or things like that. So I would say just kind of keep that in mind as well as folks are thinking about getting started.
Good advice. Nina, let me bring you in. Welcome, Nina. And what are you seeing when it comes to food? And you're very much on the cooking side. What are you seeing when it comes to food and cooking that people are doing these days?
Thanks for having me, Janet, first. And nice to hear Bill as well. You know, I was listening to the FDA deputy commissioner the other day, and he said 50% of every food dollar pre-COVID-19 was spent on food away from home. So obviously that's changed. Where we buy our food has really changed. We're not going to restaurants as much. Maybe some of us are, but it really changes the focus to what you can make at home. And we've all seen this first wave go through of maybe some hoarding of toilet paper and canned goods and maybe bleach. That seems to be leveling out now, and we're more in maybe what people are calling the second wave. And what that tends to be is comfort food. So we're loading up on carbohydrates, pastas and breads and things that maybe we wouldn't have quite so much of if we weren't in this time of extra stress. I think the next wave will be health. So we will have put on maybe some carbohydrate weight There's going to be an interest in sourcing fresh fruits and vegetables that are actually right now just a little bit harder, maybe, because we don't have access to those on the shelves quite as easily. So that, you know, I look around the neighborhood that I'm in, and I see a lot of families with young kids putting in, tilling up ground and making room for a garden. So I think that's fantastic. As Bill said, though, you know, it's helpful to learn from experienced gardeners, so I would take advantage of experts in the community as you can.
Okay, good advice. Let me just say you're listening to KBIA's The Check-In, and today we're talking about food and how we're getting food, whether we're growing food, what we're cooking during this crisis. Have you decided to start a garden? Are you thinking about it? We have an expert here, Bill McKelvey. We'll answer your questions, take your comments. Let us know how you're getting food right now, whether this crisis has changed things for you in any way. We've also got Nina Mukherjee Furstenal on the line. She's an expert in cooking out of your pantry and all kinds of things to do with food and cooking. And both are experts also in food systems and food access. Join our conversation. Let us know what you're finding with your food right now. Bill and Nina, let's talk about food security for a moment. You both have worked on these issues. Nina, you globally, and Bill very much locally. Bill, you've worked with things like Power Up Your Pantry that works supporting food banks as they work to support food relief efforts. What are you hearing from food banks that you work with right now?
Well, I think the main message that I'm hearing is that demand for food is up and food supply is down or in question right now. So there are a lot more people who are seeking the services of food pantries and food banks across our state. and there's some concern about resources, food resources holding up to meet that demand. And then in addition, a lot of food pantries are operated entirely by volunteers. A lot, and many times those volunteers are over 60 years of age. So there is some issues as it relates to basically the labor force with many food pantries and food banks, and the fact that folks may not feel entirely safe showing up to volunteer the way they used to.
Yes, that makes sense. They're probably hurting for volunteers, but then also very much the demand. Is Power Up Your Pantry providing resources for some of the food banks right now? What is your sense of how they're responding to this demand?
Well, you know, the food banks have really kicked into high gear, as far as I can tell. They are really making use of all available resources, whether it be locally or through state government and federal government. You know, the food banks are pretty well networked in our state through an organization called Feeding Missouri, and they in turn are networked with a national network called Feeding America. And I would say they've jumped into high gear and they're doing everything they can. And there are also concerns out there about what this might look like in 2 to 3 months from now. So,
Bill, you also have worked with community gardens. Are you connecting community gardens with food pantries in interesting ways? Do those two worlds kind of come together sometimes?
You know, most of the community gardens that I work with are in Columbia, and a lot of those gardens are really kind of set up for folks to grow their own food. So you have individuals and families who have plots, and they're growing food for themselves. Our organization, the Community Garden Coalition, has issued guidance for community gardeners related to physical distancing and, you know, how many people can be in a garden at any one time. And so the gardens are still open. They are practicing social distancing. And, you know, to the best of my knowledge, folks are carrying on as they would have in other years. They're just not doing as many social events, potlucks, work days, and things like that.
Okay. Nina, while we're on the subject of food security, you work with something called the Project for Media Change, and you're running their food project. What are you seeing when it comes to food security and projects, and what is that project about that you're working on?
Right. So the Media for Change project is emerging right now, so it'll be live in the next weeks. And I'm heading up the food program for that coalition of interested people. So on that program, what we're focusing on is cuisine and food origins, food scarcity, the fact that healthy soils equals healthy humans. We're doing text and film projects that one part I'm really excited about we're calling democratizing storytelling. So it's putting the power of the pen, what used to be the power of the pen, in the hands of people who can film with a phone and sort of getting stories from around the globe that connect our world. We also have a dreams project that is really interesting to me and how those dreams may have changed with this current virus crisis. What I've seen in my work over the years is whenever there's a crisis that creates hunger, and this, you know, this is obviously a health crisis, but as we go further along, it might turn into a hunger crisis in places that the supply chains get interrupted. But every time there's a hunger crisis in the world, you always hear about how there's surpluses in certain areas of the region that just can't get to the people who are in need.
Yes, we're definitely seeing that. The
seeing
logistics.
That a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The logistics is really important, so it's access, right?
Right.
As I mentioned, I was listening to the FDA Deputy Commissioner Frank Yanez, and he was in a panel discussion offered by the Trust in Food Initiative. And what he was saying is that right now there's no lack of capacity in the U.S. We have food, but the demand is high. And so it's like a matter of getting to the food packaged the right way for the right audiences. If food was meant to be sold in bulk to places like school districts or large restaurant chains, and they can't necessarily pivot on a dime, but they will, and it's going to get leveled out. We are really fortunate to be in a country that has a pretty functioning supply chain, though we are seeing disruptions right now. I think that you won't see that quite as smoothly handled in other parts of the world that don't have as strong a connection from farm to table.
All right. Thanks so much for that insight, Nina. We want to continue this discussion. We're talking to Nina Mukherjee-Furstenaw and Bill McKelvey about food systems and food access. What are you doing with food these days? How are you getting it, cooking it, growing it? And also, are you finding access to food? Both of our guests worked on food relief, food systems, and community networks. Bill and Nina, stay with us, but let's take a call. We have Seth calling in from Columbia. Seth, I believe you work with the Food Bank for Central and Northeast Missouri. Thank you so much for calling in. We want to hear how things are going for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I much of what's been said so far is accurate. And one thing that, you know, we really try to help people understand is how this affects our partner agencies. That's the local food banks, local food pantries and soup kitchens that we work with across our service area.
Okay. Seth, we're hearing that, you know, I've seen your website as well. There are plenty of ways that you're offering for people to get help, but also give help if they need to. And as many people on this program have said, money is really the best thing to give right now, so to help with the logistics. But what kind of demand are you seeing there, Seth, at the Food Bank for Central Missouri and Northeast Missouri? And how are you all doing with the response?
So what we've heard from our partner agencies, again, those are like the soup kitchens and the food pantries that we work with, is that they're seeing an increase in individuals anywhere from a few extra families to, you know, more than 100 extra people per month that are coming for help. And as has been alluded to, of course, supply lines across the nation are under strain right now, so it can be hard for us to bring enough food in to distribute. So far, we've been successful, and we've had to purchase more food than usual to be able to do so. Normally we rely more on donations of food, large donations, but right now we're purchasing more than we had before, especially shelf-stable foods like canned fruits or canned vegetables and others that don't have an expiration date that are in much more higher demand right now than usual.
I know one thing that a lot of people are worried about are our students in our communities. How are you finding students in your pantries and your network of pantries? And also, how are you finding rural areas in your network of pantries coping right now?
Mm-hmm. So those come through with a lot more families coming by to seek help. And so, of course, more families, whether they're facing a loss of income or they're having to provide more food to their children because they can't rely on school lunches, yeah, are going to their small local organization. A lot of school districts have also stepped up to continue meal distributions or finding new ways to continue getting food to students, whether it's setting up like a distribution route or doing some home deliveries. We've heard stories of one teacher who will take 2 to 3 hours a day just to drive food out to students who aren't able to come to those distribution points. And we're also continuing our buddy pack program, which are normally packages of food that students receive before the weekend to take home. A lot of school districts that we work with are continuing that program by distributing those packages at those distribution points.
Okay, Seth, you just mentioned something about someone having to personally drive out and deliver some packages. And Nina was just talking about the logistics when supplies are disrupted, supply lines are disrupted, just getting the supplies to the right people when all of these logistics are disrupted as well. How are you facing logistics? You're talking a little bit about this, but also what workarounds are you finding?
Right. So as I mentioned earlier, a big focus that we're on, that we have, is on our partner agencies. So yeah, we work with 140 organizations across 32 counties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're scattered throughout different communities. And the big focus is on making sure that they can stay open, that they can continue to operate. We provide them recommendations such as switching to a drive-through method or a delivery method, and many of them have done so to be able to continue working. And of course, they're also looking to, you know, limit the number of volunteers that they use or protect their volunteers, especially as was mentioned earlier, many of the volunteers that are, you know, at higher risk because they are older.
Right.
But so far, most of our partner agencies have been able to stay open. So those points of those logistical points, that distribution network that we rely on normally, is still continuing to work.
Okay. Seth, anything else to add? We have sharefoodbringhope.org as a place where people can go to get help or give help. Anything to add to this as far as what resources you all are needing and how people can get in touch?
Sharefoodbringhope.org is absolutely correct. And you mentioned this earlier, the best way that people can help the food bank right now is by donating financially. We've actually asked people to reduce food donations, or at least not go to the store to purchase food to donate, just because we don't want to add to that strain to supply lines. Because shelves being empty at local stores hurts us in getting food donations from those stores, and also hurts people who are looking to purchase food because they need it.
Great point. Okay. Thank you so much, Seth, from the Food Bank for Central and Northeast Missouri. Thanks for calling in, and please stay in touch with us, and good luck with everything that you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Seth. Bill and Nina, either of you have any reaction to this? Let's start with you, Bill. Any reaction to what Seth is saying?
Well, I would just say that it was nice to hear from Seth and to, you know, get a little bit more information about what's happening locally. And as he was saying, a lot of the focus of the food bank is to really ensure that those local agencies that work directly with communities are able to stay open. So, it was just great to hear more about what's going on there.
Okay. Nina, any reaction to what Seth is saying from you?
Oh, I really enjoyed hearing what he had to say. And you know, what it brings to mind to me is that, you know, there's no over there anymore as far as a crisis, all those poor people over there. We're all connected on this issue of food globally. And so anything that can help places like the food bank is fantastic. And in that effort, a small group of steering committee and I have formed, and we're calling it the commoningredient.com. It will be launched within a couple of weeks. We're going to be asking for Missourians to post a recipe, a photo of themselves, and a short story about that recipe. And we're making a suggestion for donations if you use the site to go to places like the food bank. I'll be contacting them or maybe Seth right after this to see about the sharefoodgethelp.org, because we want to list like maybe three or four links directly for donations, so if people enjoy the recipes and the stories by Missourians, their neighbors, they can make a suggested donation.
All right. This is The Check-In. We're talking about food. As Nina just said, it's the great connector. Thanks for checking in with us on this Friday. We've just got a few more minutes left in our program. We're talking with Nina Mukherjee Furstenaw and Bill McKelvey. They both work on food security and community food systems. We're talking about food, gardening, cooking, all of the various food manifestations. How are you getting, growing, cooking, and eating during this crisis? Let us know what you're doing. Are you considering gardening? I'm going to try to get Bill and Nina talking for a few minutes here on cooking and gardening and getting some tips. So feel free to call in with your questions. We've got just a few minutes left. Or let us know your experience and what your experience is right now. So Nina, you mentioned that, you know, what's in your pantry, and there's a lot more beans and staples in your pantry right now. What are you cooking?
Well, I'm cooking kind of, you know, it's interesting because I heard this said once, in the extraordinary times, we reach for the ordinary. And I think that's really true. Mm-hmm. But my ordinary sometimes meaning comfort foods, you know, I think that's what that quote is trying to point to. But my ordinary sometimes has taken on interesting visuals because I was out of pasta, but I had a spaghetti squash. So, of course, we made spaghetti squash pasta. I added a sauce that I had made, you know, from ingredients that I had on hand for an Indian curry to that spaghetti squash. Very healthy meal, except it wasn't probably what you would normally say is a recipe, like photo-worthy recipe, but nutritious and tasty, and it did bring the taste of home. So I think part of what we look for in these times is something we can put together from our pantries, sometimes better stocked than others.
That's great. And I'll bet you're being modest. I'll bet it was pretty photogenic what you made. Any
I don't
other
know.
I just have to say we won't do an entire show about recipes, but I like your spaghetti squash. Anything else that you think is a surprising ingredient that's just particularly nice to work with right now that you recommend for people?
I think really anything that you've got, you can make into a quick stir fry with just a few spices that make it lively, and it's very nutritious and it's fresh, and it's always varied because it's going to be whatever you happen to have on hand. And when I was in the Peace Corps in Tunisia, there's a dish they called shakshuka, and it was mainly just whatever vegetables were left, you put together in a stir fry. And in their case, they would eat it sometimes with French bread. Now, of course, I'm not having lots of bread right now. So that's when things like that spaghetti squash come in handy.
Okay. Shakshuka. Is that what you said?
Shakshuka.
Is that the one where you put a crack an egg on top of it sometimes?
Yes, sometimes
okay.
you do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I had a friend that brought that over to my house. I was very lucky. Let's take a call from Christine, calling from Columbia. Christine, thanks for checking in.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I was just going to share my experience. I stocked up a little bit, but I was a little anxious. So I did put in a few garden beds, and I know they're not perfect, but they're starting to produce already a few things like cilantro and spinach and arugula. And I also went out and I knew about stinging nettles, but I finally found the stinging nettles and I fell in love with stinging nettles.
Okay.
To the point that I think I might just grow them in my garden because they seem to grow in pretty poor soil.
All right. Thanks for that call, Christine. Nina, any comments on that?
Oh, no. I'm just really impressed that she has all that already growing and coming up has access to it. That's fantastic.
That is awesome. And Bill and Nina, unfortunately, we are just about out of time. Let me just ask you both for just a few seconds that you might leave us with when it comes to food or gardening. Anything you'd like us to keep in mind? Nina?
Just that we're all connected in this. It's one health for the planet, really. Our human health is connected to agriculture, to nutrition, of course, the environment, animal health, insect health and the pollinators, plant health, water health, soil health, all of it, all the microorganisms affect how nutritious our food is. And so, just to keep that in mind and maybe have that sort of feel bolstered by that, because it's not just one problem. It is actually a whole constellation of solutions. We can move forward on this and hopefully improve things.
All right, a constellation of solutions. Very well said. Thank you so much, Nina. Bill, any last words for us that you have on your mind?
Sure. I'll just add that in addition to the nutritional benefits of growing your own, there's really good research out there and experience about the mental health benefits. So especially during this time of crisis, to keep that in mind too, just the way that gardening and growing your own food can really help you feel better and really provide a lot of other benefits in addition to the food that you get out of your garden.
Excellent point. Thank you so much for leaving us with that. Bill McKelvey, thank you. Nina Mukherjee, first in awe, thank you so much to both of you for coming on the check-in.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
All right, that's it. Thank you also for checking in with us today. Hey, if you're listening and needing help with getting food or with anything else right now, you can call 211. The United Way of Missouri will help you. You can also, as you heard, go to sharefoodbringhope.org. You can get help there, but you can also give help there. That's sharefoodbringhope.org. Also, our producer, Christopher Husted, pointed out there are restaurants out there. Support our local restaurants if you don't feel like cooking tonight. It's Friday. Thanks again for being here. I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.